Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, I am delighted to be talking about opera, specifically Knoxville Opera and the Rossini Festival, which are both coming up this weekend here in East Tennessee. First, we're joined by soprano Rochelle Bard. Good morning, Rochelle.
Good morning.
And tenor Tao Papua. Good morning, Tao.
Good morning.
Happy to have you here both. Also, Michael Tarano from Knoxville Opera will be joining us. And you over here? Come on, Michael, so you can say hey. Say good morning.
Well, hello, Frank. Glad to be here.
So we'll talk about Rossini Festival, we'll talk about Norma, all coming up starting this Friday night when we have Norma at the Tennessee Theater, then the Rossini Festival on Saturday, and then Norma again on Sunday. So therefore, we'll start with the opera itself. Rochelle, you play what is, according to the internet, one of the most challenging soprano roles in the opera world. Tell us about Norma.
I'm really excited to hear that it's called the most challenging opera because I thought it was. So that makes me feel better.
Well, it's Wikipedia,
right?
But I mean, you know.
Well, I think it's true. The role of Norma is notoriously difficult. It's very difficult to sing. There are a lot of low notes and a ton of high notes. Mm-hmm. And mixed all in that are these beautiful, soft high notes everywhere you look. So it's a rare soprano that can do it. And I am truly blessed to have this on my resume and that Knoxville has the gumption to put it on.
Because when you look back at the history of this role, Norma, like the recordings, for example, I mean, mm-hmm. if you just go to buy a recording of it, chances are you're going to find somebody like a Dame Joan Sutherland who is way up there in yes. the stratosphere of sopranos.
Exactly. Both Joan Sutherland and Maria Callas and Montserrat Caballé, they became super famous singing this particular role. So I'm really hoping that I get to sing this role again. once you do it, I think people know who you are. So
oh, fantastic.
That's my goal.
Now, Tao, what about you and this particular role of Pollione?
Yes, I find this role very rewarding in many senses of the drama of the music itself and the duets that I have with my leading ladies, Norma and Algeciza.
Wait a minute, two leading ladies?
Yes, I'm a lucky person. I'm a lucky guy. I'm a lucky Roman, shall we say.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the plot a little bit then, because I know there's severe drama. I mean, mm-hmm. even the commercials that we've heard talk about it being, this is a grown-up opera.
Yes.
You know, the plot here is very serious and druidish.
It is. Although I have to say, my 8-year-old stepdaughter was watching the DVD with me and completely fascinated with the story.
Oh, really?
She was saying, is she actually going to kill her children right now? And I said, no, don't worry about it. And she watched it twice. So I think it spans the ages. But this story is phenomenal. Norma is a druid priestess. So she's really powerful and fierce, and she's in charge of a lot of people. And she has secretly fallen in love with and married this Roman guy, Pollione.
Which is played by Tao Papua.
Exactly, the tenor. And he's from the other side of the tracks, so they're not supposed to
no,
like
No, he's from
other.
Tonga.
He is from Tonga. In the show, he's Roman.
Oh, okay.
and so they're not supposed to be together, and besides the fact that she's a priestess, and they secretly have two kids and that she's hiding from everybody, and has sort of promised to the Romans that that the Druids are not going to go to war. And everything changes when she finds out that her best friend is in love with someone. And she said, oh, my goodness, I'm happy for you. I'll let you out of your vows. Who is he? What's his name? And Pollione happens to walk in. And so this is the tenor. And so the three of us are on stage saying, what the heck just happened, in the loudest, fiercest opera kind of way. The Adalgisa, who's the mezzo, does not realize that they're together.
Yeah, so, and who plays that role?
Her name is Janae Bridges. She's a fantastic mezzo. She's from Chicago Lyric Opera, and her career is going to take off like wildfire. She's beautiful and sounds gorgeous. So this trio is so fierce. I actually want to kill him during the trio. Lots of high notes, and I throw them both out of my house. And so the rest of the show is basically, it's this love triangle business, and he's trying to figure out who he loves. And I'm saying, how can you abandon your children? And by the end of the show, he has been such a jerk that I say, okay, fine, we're going to go to war with you. And that's that crazy war chorus that you're using in your spots.
Yes.
That actually kind of makes you want to fight. It makes makes you want to pick up a sword. So I'm not going to tell you how it ends, but two people die by fire.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Now, I won't tell you who.
We're talking about the opera Norma, produced by Knoxville Opera at the Tennessee Theater on April 11th and 13th. Tao Papua, the tenor who plays Polione. Now, you walk in. Tell me about that scene that Rochelle just described, where she and her best friend are talking about the size of your body or whatever it is that girlfriends talk about when they're in private. You walk in on that moment. What does your character do?
Well, I walk into, of course, Norma's, is it your hideout?
Is your house.
And I walk into this awkward moment where Aldegisa looks at me and says, well, here he is. And Norma is in disbelief saying, what? I mean, don't you know our relationship?
Don't you hate it when that happens? When your husband and your best friend end up getting together? I hate it when that happens.
I think Facebook calls that, it's complicated.
Exactly.
That would be pretty good if opera characters had Facebook status updates.
Definitely.
You should totally tweet as one of the characters. That would be pretty good stuff. Michael Tarano from Knoxville Opera's thinking, what a great idea. I'm going to start doing that. He just created a Twitter account for Norma herself. Beautiful. All right. So we're talking about this beautiful opera, but with two beautiful people who are sitting here in our studio who are going to really entertain on the stage of the Tennessee Theater. Let's go back in time a little bit and talk about how you got to this point of being here in Knoxville, Tennessee, for Norma on April 11th, 13th. Your background, how'd you get involved in singing? You know, what kind of stuff did you do before the opera world? And as always, we go ladies first, Rochelle Bard.
I had no desire to be a singer. I was very shy when I was little. I was a pianist and I accompanied my sister, who's a musical theater singer. She's fantastic. She's a natural actress, loves the spotlight. I was exactly the opposite. And, you know, I loved music and I thought about getting a degree in music. And my mom said, that's just not practical. So I did what everybody else did in my family. And I got a degree in biology pre-med from Holy Cross. And I was going to go to medical school.
My uncle, the doctor, went there, just FYI.
Awesome. So many doctors are musical, so I'm sure it's the same part of the brain.
Yeah.
It's been a twisted path for me. It was not my plan at all. And I started singing by accident. I was the mother abbess in The Sound of Music in North Carolina, where I was living at the time.
Oh, then how did you solve a problem like Maria?
Exactly.
Did you figure it out? I don't even know.
I just sang louder than she did.
Okay.
And I realized I had a gift and people started noticing me. And I thought, well, okay, if I'm going to get a degree in something, another degree, it should be music. I was thinking about teaching music at the time. And my career just happened by accident. I got into Tanglewood and I was still really shy. And it wasn't until my late 20s where I really accepted myself as a singer and embraced this. Opera is amazing, and we get to act out in such a big way, in such a tangible way, all of these really intense situations that, honestly, they really happen. I mean, maybe not death by fire, but, you know, there's a lot of life that happens in these operas.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's pause your bio for a second. Talk about that moment in Norma where you and Polione are fighting and, I mean, almost ready to kill each other.
Right.
And Tao, let me jump to you first. That moment when she's coming at you in the show, what's it like, you know?
It's pretty scary because, you know, knowing a little of my wonderful leading lady's history. She, you know, to become an opera singer, I believe that you have to bring some of your life experience into this art.
So when pre-med is coming at you with a knife,
she knows what to do with it.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. I mean, I see a lot of fire and, you know, behind her eyes because she has, you know, she has experienced this. So the emotions comes out of her. And through her, I get my inspiration to react to that. If I was singing with someone that did not have some kind of life experience or some kind of acting skills, it would be harder for me to react to her coming after me with this dagger, or, you know, and so, you know, I'm just very happy with this wonderful cast and to sing with such wonderful singers and also to be here in Knoxville.
Nice acoustics in that room, too, by the way, the Tennessee Theater. Whoa.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Yeah. Where are you in the rehearsal schedule? You've been in there yet or in the house yet?
We haven't. We go into the theater starting the Monday night of the show.
So tomorrow night.
Exactly. So we've been in rehearsal hall at Knoxville Opera for almost 3 weeks now. We're singing with the orchestra today as a rehearsal. So it'll be really fantastic to sing in the space. I think it'll change everything.
Outstanding. All right. So we were talking about your life story, and I want to get to Taos as well, obviously, but he's been on the news. So we'll focus on you a little more. You're up to the point now where you've really embraced singing, gotten involved in opera, and I looked at your credits. They're amazing. And just in a relatively short amount of time, you've done all of these great roles.
Yeah. You know, has it been a short amount of time? I guess it has been.
Relatively speaking. To what you're talking about, going into it in your late 20s. I mean, it's only a few years.
You're right. You're right. I've been really blessed to, I don't think I've ever sung a Compromario role. We would call that sort of a backup singer kind of role.
Okay.
For the last few years, I've been singing almost exclusively the title role in
nice.
The opera. So I'm working my way up through companies, and this company is so phenomenal to work with. The conductor knows every word to the score, knows everything that has ever been done in performance history. We have a great director too. So it's really exciting to be here.
Okay.
This is definitely the pinnacle of my career.
So far. Well, you have to remember us when you get all the way to the Met.
Definitely.
Now, speaking of all the way to the Met, I watched this great news feature about Tao Papua. And it was, of course, we're talking about Knoxville Opera. We're talking about Norma, April 11th and 13th at the Tennessee Theater, starring Rochelle Bard and our other guest, Tao Papua, this morning. I watched this great piece. It was maybe CBS This Morning. And you're there walking in front of the Met, and you're describing it as that's your Super Bowl. You will be there someday. But not yet. You're not going to rush it. You're going to do the right thing. And the reason that analogy is so amazing is those of us who have Tao Papua football cards know that you played for Cleveland Browns, the Baltimore Ravens. Let's go back to your early days when you decided to become a football player. How did that happen?
Well, my family moved from the Kingdom of Tonga to Salt Lake City, Utah, of all places. There's nine
of us. You didn't
stand
out there at all.
No, not at all. being the youngest out of nine, my family decided to move to America where, the land of opportunities, of dreams. And so that's where I grew up and went on to college and was drafted by Bill Belichick to go and play football. And
position? I'm sorry that I don't remember.
Defensive end. I played defensive end, and I played for 2 years, and then I broke the arch of my foot. I left the sport, and I packed a suitcase and moved to New York, and went up and down the streets of New York looking, I wanted to be an opera singer, but how does one become an opera singer?
How did you know? All right, go back a second. You're playing football in the NFL. How did you know you wanted to be an opera singer?
Well, it was something that I would say church. You know, every time I would go to church and sing these hymns, people will turn around and say, where's that voice coming from? And then
then they look up and see that you're taller.
I'm tall, yes. I'm
6'5". Very, very tall.
Yeah, and I was 6'5", and I was about 300 pounds when I played football. And I ran a 40, like 4.5 seconds. So I had really good speed and everything. When that was taken away from me, I moved to New York and walked around New York and ran into a really famous opera singer by the name of Dame Kiri Takanua, who took me under her wings and took me over to Juilliard where I auditioned. Mm. And I was one of 100 and something applicants that auditioned for the opera center there. And got a phone call and said, congratulations, you're one of three that got into this school. And there was only about 12 to 14 of us in this group, in this class. And so I did my studies there, but I had to do catch up, because
you're all of a sudden, now you're at like the Harvard of performing arts schools. You're at the top. You're at the cream of the crop. So you're saying all these other people have been doing it since they were probably, 4 years old or something like that.
Exactly. 4 years old. And, so while they were learning their solfège when they were 4 or 10 or
what
18.
What does that mean?
Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do.
Oh.
Exactly.
I'm not very musical and I apologize.
It's all right.
Okay.
Well, and when they're learning their notes, I was learning my plays and I was running around hitting people versus learning my music.
Okay.
And so when I got into Juilliard, I had to play catch up in learning languages, French, German, Italian, and also learning you know, other things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, graduated from Juilliard, and then now I'm starting to make my rounds and singing around the world and singing with wonderful artists.
One of the pictures I saw of you was you performing with the opera in Hawaii. And because you're from the South Pacific, and Hawaii is it's sort of South Pacific-y.
I was well-received, let's just say.
Or so you see where I'm going with that. Yes, that's what I wanted to know. But any other favorite gigs in your career so far? Because you're still headed toward that goal of singing at the Met.
I would say In the Moment is my favorite gig. Like, mm-hmm. as we're here in Knoxville, it's my favorite gig now. And Speak to Me next month, it'll be my favorite gig.
All right. Yes. Well, one last thing I want to ask specifically that CBS interview where you said, I'm not going to go to the Met yet. I don't want to rush it. I want to be, I guess what you were talking about, Rochelle, where you want to be prepared to be the lead maybe and not just be a supernumerary or, you know, some dude in the, holding the spear in the back.
It's really hard to work your way up from the bottom. Edward Zambara, who actually used to run Knoxville Opera for years and years, was my first voice teacher at New England Conservatory. And he said to me, he said, don't start at the bottom. If you want to be, you know, the lead, you just need to stick to it and it'll happen and people will eventually notice you. It's it has happened that people have worked their way up from the chorus, but it's difficult to do specifically at the Met. Mm-hmm. So we're crossing our fingers. And I think that we both got a late start. So our careers are just sort of happening at the rate that they need to happen, which is a blessing.
You know, I'm a comedian and my favorite comedians started late in life. You know, and those are the ones I focus on. Those guys are like, you know what? They have life experience that they can draw upon.
Exactly.
And that way, when you're running at him with the knife, when you're singing that lead, you have something to draw on as opposed to being, you know, freshly minted out of, you know, a 22-year-old trying to figure out, oh, what would this lady be like, you know, at this point in her life?
Now, I'm a voice teacher and I teach some young kids, but I feel like when you start a little bit later, you maybe don't have as much baggage. So I didn't have to unlearn anything because I started to learn really how to sing in my 20s. So I didn't have to unlearn what I had learned in high school. Mm. Which is good. It was a clean slate, basically.
Now, let me bring in Michael Tarano from Knoxville Opera. When you guys put the season together, I mean, well, I know you did Tales of Hoffman. You've done so many of the other famous operas just in this season alone. How do you choose? How did you pick Norma, for example?
Oh, my gosh. We picked Norma from what I understand. Brian Selesky is an incredible executive director, conductor, and he has an incredible eye for talent, by the way. But I believe he chose this production because he had the two leads that needed to be able to pull it off. As Rochelle had said, I think, earlier, and I think she had mentioned, this is an incredibly challenging role, and it's something that companies our size, we're a small regional arts company. We have no business doing this production. We don't normally be able to get the talent to pull this off. But fortunately,
so this is unusual that anyone is doing Norma this year?
Well, I'll tell you this. Here's how unusual it is. Us and the Met, I've heard you guys talking about making comparisons, are the only two opera companies staging this production in the U.S. this year. How's that for unusual? Mm-hmm. Right here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Amen.
Well, sold. I'll be there. I want to go.
It's fantastic. We're very blessed to have this incredible cast. And I've heard them talk about Janae, our Elizabeth Bachman's our director. We've got a really talented group of people. And they happen to all be pretty dang good looking, too, by the way, which is fantastic.
I know. I've told Michael that when you got here, I would be flirting with Rochelle the whole time. So I'll get to that soon, I guess.
Great.
I'll start with that
Bring
eventually.
Yeah.
But we are very excited to have you guys here in town. And part of the weekend, and this is part of a spectacular event, Knoxville Opera stages a festival every year, celebrating the arts, celebrating food, celebrating culture of all sorts of, you know, symphonic and singing and everything. And it's called the Rossini Festival. And they deliberately book the feature opera, which in this case is this year is Norma, as the bookends of this festival. So Friday night, you guys are going to be on stage at the Tennessee Theater all day Saturday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. The streets of downtown Knoxville will be completely swarming with people, us included from the radio group, are going to be down there enjoying culture and arts on how many, and Mike, let me ask you, how many different stages and how many different city blocks? You've got those numbers.
There are five. Count them. One, two, five. Five stages of entertainment going on. There's one specifically for all choral, one for instrumental, one for jazz and Americana, one, of course, for dance, and I would say, actually, of course, opera. Can't do that. Rochelle, you do that much better
opera.
Than me. There it is. See? This is why I'm not the talent.
So when a first-timer, I have to admit that I've always had to work here at the radio station on Rossini Festival Day. So this will be, finally, I get an opportunity to come down there and be there in person and experience it. For first-timers like me, what's it going to be like to see how many city blocks?
It covers about 16 city blocks of this thing. And by the way, Frank, we've been waiting on you for 12 years, 12 long years to come to this thing. Fortunately, on the 13th year this year, We get to enjoy Frank coming out there. So you're going to be introducing some people from some of the stages, I think, too.
I know. I've already talked to some folks from Go Danceworks. They said, "Oh, would you introduce us?" And I hope if you guys are going to be there, you'll allow me the privilege of being able to introduce you to the crowd, or you can come by our broadcast booth and that kind of stuff. This is a huge deal, a legacy festival for Knoxville. Let me get you to explain what that means.
Oh, boy. Let me see if I can do it justice. For those of you out there listening, you may have heard and within the last year or so that there was some rumors going around that we were going to be moving this particular event. This is one of Knoxville's favorite events. It's one of our largest outdoor festivals, and it's a big, huge endeavor for a little opera company like ourselves to put together. But when it was born back 12 years ago, we were on Gay Street where it started, and downtown has transformed a lot in the last 12 years. It's not what it is now. Mm-hmm. And so when we started out that way, I think we took up 3 or 4 city blocks, and I think our first year we had an attendance of around 6,000 people. We've grown, of course, and in perfect, pristine weather conditions. You know, it's over 100,000 people that come to this thing. So naturally, with growing pains, there were some issues on safety and trash and things along that line to get done. So we
Taupapu is like 100,000. That's a stadium.
see, that guy's used to that kind of stuff. You know, we're us here in little old Knoxville, Tennessee. You know, we're not used to that kind of stuff. But so, you know, the legacy event that you're referring to is the fact that last year there was consideration of us moving this and going somewhere else, anywhere but Gay Street, so to speak. You know, that's the main thoroughfare right through the middle of downtown, and it was difficult. It was a little tasking for all the city departments and the residents and the retailers and things along that line as we had gotten that big. But fortunately, we through a wonderful agreement with the mayor's office in the city of Knoxville, we were able to reach an agreement, and Mayor Rahero has declared Rossini Festival a legacy event, So we get to stay right where it all started on Gay Street 12 long years ago. Fantastic. We're very excited about that.
Well, you are talking about a beautiful part of town because you've got the Tennessee Theater, which really was one of, like, the first jewel in that crown when it was redeveloped close to 12 years ago. And then you've got the Bijou Theater, which is now up to speed. And then you've got the movie theater up the road from that. And you've got the parks are there and the retail is there and the residential is there. It's all happening. And you guys are going to be right in the middle of it. So in the time that you've been in Knoxville, which is for a couple of weeks now doing rehearsals, what are your impressions of just everyday life here, just being around and you know, going to get some food or just hanging out? What do you think, Rochelle Bard, The Soprano?
I love Knoxville. When I came up for my last audition, Brian had me come and sing in the theater. I stayed at the Oliver Hotel, and I was able to just walk everywhere. And I think I tried every restaurant in Market Square. And everybody's just so friendly. It's a little different than the Northeast, I think.
As someone who moved here from the, I call myself a Northerner by birth, but a Southerner by choice.
Right.
I totally get what you're saying right there.
Yeah, and people talk to you, and they don't think it's weird. In New York, we all keep our head down.
Yes, here people just start talking to you random. Now, what about you, Taupapua? I mean, when you walk through Market Square, people are going to go, "Oh, do you play for UT or something like that?"
Yeah, I get that look. I'm walking around and they ask if I'm here playing football, and I'm like, "No, I'm here singing."
Which is a compliment because, you know, people would think if you're still college age, well, you do see a lot of athletes here in Knoxville.
Yeah, you do. But I will say the thing that sticks out for me is first the weather. It changes left and right, but now we're starting to get some really nice weather. But also the wonderful food, you know, the soul food that we have discovered, you know, in the past 2.5 weeks that I've been here. You know, if
you need directions to Chandler's, I can write that down for
you. We've been there.
Good. All right, then he's taking care of you. I want to make sure.
Yes.
That was a test, Toronto. I just wanted you to know.
Actually, that was not my gift. That was Brian Selesky's
gift.
He's the one that turned me on to that place. And I'm there quite often.
All right. Oh, good. All right, so I'll check that one off as you've passed that test. What else do you like about it?
I really like the hospitality. I like being here, you know, being interviewed by this wonderful.
You.
You know, we were driving over here and we were listening to this radio station, and I was thinking to myself, gosh, they're playing really good, really great hits.
I love it. Thank
you. And then, Michael told me that this is where we're going. And
nice.
So, yeah, it's great to be here.
Well, I appreciate it. I get a charge out of having people like you who are so alive with the enthusiasm for performance and the arts. All right. We have a few more minutes just to wrap up. And for anyone who joined us late, let's talk more about that show Norma, which is April 11th and 13th at the Historic Tennessee Theater, part of the whole weekend of the arts in Knoxville, Tennessee. April 11th is Norma. April 12th is Rossini Festival. April 13th is Norma again for the matinee on Sunday afternoon. That show is so hard, so difficult, so amazing. Tell me a little more about your impressions of this great opera by Bellini.
It makes you feel something. Every moment of the show is emotional, and never mind the fact that, you know, Bellini wrote some of the most beautiful music that has ever been written, and we are so lucky to be able to sing it. But I mean, it's really intense. It's passionate. There's anger, there's revenge, and forgiveness, and there's this, it makes you feel. You know, I have to say, guys, bring your date. If you've never been to the opera, bring your date and impress the heck out of them. My fiance came to see the first show that I was in when we started dating, and it was The Tales of Hoffmann, and he couldn't get over it. He knew nothing about opera, and there are always super titles, so you know what's going on. You don't need to know Italian.
Newbies like that, that means like it's above the stage?
Right, it's like ticker tape.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't need to be, it's not shishi in any way. It's not unapproachable. It's really, it's understandable, and it's passionate, and this is the perfect kind of show to bring someone to if you've never been to a show before, because this has a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. And Tao, what about you? What drew you to this particular play? Or I'm calling it a play because I want to emphasize that there's a story to it. Because sometimes the word opera, you're like, opera, what is that? But this is drama.
What drew me to this? I'm going to speak honestly. It's my life. I love to sing, and I love to share this gift that I have through the power of music, just like you. You know, you're here in the studio, and you're like sending out waves of music to everybody around the world. And it's just for me to share, you know, what I've been given. Yeah. And the drama itself, of course.
Well, also what is cool, and now I know you're a very humble man, and I've gotten that impression from you that you're cool about it, but And I say, well, how much can I talk about football? But you know what? The fact that you played in the most popular sport in America is going to draw people now and get our attention. You know, we're going to say, wait a minute, this dude, I know who that is, and I want to see him on stage. That, you follow what I'm saying? So you can actually take this power that you have over folks and say, hey, I've got your attention because I played oval ball now and or egg ball or whatever, you know, the joke is, I've got your attention. Now listen to me, I'm going to tell you about the arts. You've got a stage, you've got a platform, a soapbox.
Yes, I believe you're right, but in the opera world, we still have to bring a lot of people into the opera world. Concert wise it's no problem, you know, because a lot of people will come to a concert where you will stage like highlights of an opera, or you sing, you know, the number one hits of tenor arias like Nessun Dorma or La Donna Immobile. But in the concert form, I think it's a little bit more difficult for people to handle. Maybe because of the stereotype of going to an opera. Mm-hmm. But I believe now it's starting to open up to a lot of younger generation. And, you know, if I could be a platform to bring younger generations or sports fanatics to the opera stage, to the opera theater, then let it be.
Let me ask you, Michael, when are there new operas that are getting staged regularly? I know they're being written. I mean, I read about new operas being created, but it's the classics. It's that combination of classics versus new. Rochelle, what do you think about?
There are a lot of great operas being written. One that's been getting some notoriety this year is Moby Dick by Jake Heggie. That's done really well. And there are composers that have come up, like Jake, actually, who are writing for the voice. Sometimes in modern music, they write things just to be different, which to me isn't all that appealing. But there are some composers out there that are writing for real life and for the human voice to express that in a beautiful way. So it's happening. But these classics aren't going to go away. They're classic for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're intense and gorgeous and moving, and they're going to stick around.
Well, what an absolute pleasure to have you guys here in the studio with us. Once again, Norma is on Friday night. It's this coming Friday, Tennessee Theater. You can go to KnoxvilleOpera.com and find out all about it there. And then the Rossini Festival, you find out that as well at KnoxvilleOpera.com. And then Sunday, the 13th, April 13th, is the matinee, 2:30 in the afternoon, I think. So pick your show and get your tickets before they're all gone. Michael?
Well, the neat thing about what you're talking about with KnoxvilleOpera.com and the tickets, they're available 24/7 at all times. And we've talked about beautiful music, beautiful people, beautiful arias, beautiful everything along that line. And we certainly have that here with this particular cast. Now, again, I mentioned earlier how incredibly good looking they are. I know everyone in the audience can actually see these guys.
Tao, I'm sure, is hot. That,
yes,
I'm not going to lie.
No, my lady soprano.
But their voices are their real gift and their real talent. And that's the beauty of this entire performance venue, is the fact that they sing so wonderfully and so beautifully. And it's something that you can't really describe until you experience it for the first time yourself. And it's empowering. It's incredible.
I'm not letting you out of here until I get a Facebook picture and a Twitter picture with these two lovelies. Because they're both, like you said, very attractive.
I think you're going to have to give them a coffee mug for that picture or something along that line, or a T-shirt, I'm sure. Bumper sticker, anything.
I'll take a T-shirt.
All right. I'll see if I have one big enough.
I'll squeeze into it.
There it is.
Well, he used to be 300, but you know, now you're very trim and very right there. All right, well, this is great. Once again, Knoxville Opera this weekend. Look for Norma Friday, Rossini Festival Saturday, Norma again on Sunday. Thank you very much. Rochelle Bard, the soprano.
My pleasure.
And Norma. And Tao Papua, who is Polione.
Thank you.
The tenor, appearing in the show this weekend. Thank you, sir, for being here. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.